Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Hey, and we are at the Mishnah, 15 lines from the top of daf Kuf Nun Hey Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema. The Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Harav David ben Shima, Avram ben Gittel, Shishana bas Esther Bela, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayashu ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chiskiyo ben Basya, Elena bas Chana, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Pnina bas Esther, Chiskiyo Shloime Ziske ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Baruch ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doi ben Krindel, Shishana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shishana bas Tova Adasa, Aharon ben Chaya Mira, Rechel Chana Malka bas Tova, Yaakov Hillel ben Chaya Sara, Necha Rivka bas Chaya Elka, Tzvi ben Chaya, Efrat bas Tamar, Yosef Elio ben Chaya Devora, and Alta Yerachmiel ben Yoicheved. Today's daf's also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yichil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloime Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan, and Chava Serol bas Reb Moshe Shmuel. So the topic of this coming daf is the idea that a person is not allowed to do on Shabbos even something that's mutter, something that doesn't involve any of the lamites melachos, if he's going to have to exert too much energy. So there's an idea called tircha b'Shabbos that the Chachamim said is not okay. That's the backdrop of this daf. Zok de Mishnah, matirin pekiyei omer lufnei behema. If somebody wants to feed his animals on Shabbos, which is okay, assuming the fodder that he's going to use is not mukta, says the Mishnah, you can untie bundles of omer on Shabbos. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Umefasfasin es hakipin. Additionally, you're allowed to take kipin and scatter it in front of the animals. Avaloyes hazirin. You cannot, however, do the aforementioned with zirin. So what exactly is amir and kipin and zirin? We'll see that in the Gemara. A similar halacha. Ein miraskin. You're not allowed to shred. You're not allowed to grind. Loyes hashachas, which is a term that's used to describe animal food. Veloyes achruvim. You can't use Ruven carobs either. Lefnei behema, in front of a behema, ben daka ben gasa. It doesn't matter if the animal's a smaller behema, a behema daka, or if it's a larger behema, a behema gasa. Either way, it's not okay. Rabbi Yehuda matav ruven ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda said that if you want to be merasek the shachas or the charuven, it's okay with the charuven as long as you're doing it for behema daka, which would seem to imply it's not okay for behema gasa. So what does this all mean? Zok de Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that there were three types of animal foods that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Amir, Kifin and Zirin. The Mishnah said, Matirin Bekiye Amir. You're allowed to untie bundles of Amir. Umefasfasen asakipin. You're allowed to scatter keeping in front of an animal. Avaloya sazirin doesn't say what not, but you can't do this in front of zirin. So Rav Huna said like this: Hain pekiyin, hain keeping. Pekiyin and keeping are the exact same thing. They're both straw. Pekiyin tray. The difference is pekiyin is when the bundles are tied twice. Keeping plus it's called keeping when it's tied three times. But in terms of the actual food, it's the same thing. There's no difference between pekiyin and keeping. What is zirin? So says the Gemara, said Rav Huna, that's the arzi, that's branches of a cedar tree. Okay, what's now the halach of the Mishnah? Matirin b'kiyei amir. The Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to untie bundles of straw that's tied twice on Shabbos. Avaloyes hazirin. But lefnei behema umefasfasin, and if you can untie it, you're allowed to scatter it in front of the animals as well. Vuadin lekipin, and the same thing is going to be true for kipin, because kipin is essentially the same thing as pekiyin. This is a little complicated. They're both straw. One was tied twice, the other one was tied three times. But being that essentially they're the same thing, so whatever the halach is going to be by one, the halach is going to be by the other. So if matirin pekiyin, matirin keepin. If mefasfasin pekiyin, mefasfasin keepin. So you're allowed to untie both of them. You're also allowed to take both of them and scatter it in front of an animal. Avaloyes hazirin. However, you can't take these branches of cedar and put that in front of the animal. Loyla fasface, you can't scatter Veloyla hatir, and you can't untie it. So the bottom line, what the Mishnah is saying is that if you want to feed your animal on Shabbos, You have to look at the Shulchan Aruch. You have to know exactly what the food that you're feeding is. If it's straw, it doesn't matter if the straw was tied twice or three times, even though they have different names. The halacha would be you'd be allowed to untie those bundles. Additionally, you'd be allowed to scatter it, make it nice for the animal to be able to eat it. If, however, you're feeding your animals zirin, if you're feeding your animals the branches of a cedar tree, so that's trickier. There the halacha is you can't untie it, assuming it's tied, and you wouldn't be able to scatter it, assuming that it's just bundled together. And all you need to do is scatter it. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, "My time of the Rav Huna." The way Rav Huna explained the Mishnah, what's Pashup Shad in the Mishnah? So he said like this: "Kasavar lemitro bo'uch letarchinon." If somebody wants to be matriach to feed his animal, that's okay. So to untie bundles, it's fine. Doesn't matter if it's tied twice, if it's tied three times. To scatter the tefua in front of your animal, even though that involves tircha, that's also okay because a person is allowed to be matriach for his animal. However, to create oichel, that's something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And for somebody to take these zirin and decide that he wants to feed it to his animal, what he's doing is not just getting involved in tircha, but he's actually creating something. He's creating food. Why? So Rashi says, because these branches were usually not fed to animals. I mean that they weren't usually fed to animals, but you deciding to now feed it to an animal, essentially you're creating a meichel. You're not creating it in the literal sense, but you're creating it in the proverbial sense. You're giving it now the status of oichel because you decided to take something that usually wouldn't be fed to animals and feed it to animals. The obvious question that the Rishonim struggle with is if this is something that's not really meichel behema, then it should be mukta. We should have a whole other set of issues. So I am a Rishonim, but the difference is that if the thing you're feeding the animal is food, it woke up in the morning, that's Michael Behema. It's just a question, can I untie it? Can I scatter it? So then the halach is that that's something you're allowed to do. If, however, it's not an oichel, you're deciding now to give it the chshivas of an oichel, so that's true from the tircha perspective, it would be fine. But the problem here is you have another issue. The issue is that you're creating oichel, and being that you're creating oichel, that's going to be the problem. Either way, that's the first pshat in the Mishnah. That's the way Rav Huna explained the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda had a different understanding of the Mishnah. He said, hein hein pekiyin, hein hein zirin. Pekiyin, that's the first food mentioned in the Mishnah, and zirin was the third food mentioned in the Mishnah. Those are the same thing. What's the difference then? If they're the same thing, then why are they given two different names? Same thing that Rav Huna said. Pekiyin trei, zirin tlasa. Pekiyin is when they were tied twice. Zirin is when they were tied three times. Kippin, the middle thing, is the arzi. That's what Rav Huna described as being zirin. That's the branches, the shoots of the cedar tree. V'hachi karmar. If that's the case, the halach of the Mishnah has to be a little bit different. Matirim pikiyei amad lefnei behem. You're allowed to untie bundles of pikiyin of straw that would tie twice in front of a behem. Avo pispusei loy. But to scatter them is not going to be okay. V'kifin, as it relates to kifin, pispusei nami mifasfzina. As it relates to kipin, which is the arozim, the cedar, that's something that you're even allowed to scatter in front of an animal. Avo loy hazirin, but and then when the Mishnah says loy hazirin, what it means is lefasfes elalahater. It's referring to the straw that was tied three times. It has the same halachic status as the straw that was tied two times, where the halach, according to Rav Yehuda, is that you're allowed to untie it. However, you're not allowed to scatter it. In other words, we have a machlokes pashut had to read the Mishnah between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. It's a question of definitions. The Mishnah says matirim pikiyei amr. That's one type of meichel behema. Umefasves and asakipin is another type of meichel behema. Avaloya sazirim is a third type of meichel behema. According to Rav Huna, pikiyin and kipin are the same thing. They're both straw. One was tied twice. One was tied three times. What is zirin? Zirin is the arozim. According to Rav Yehuda, pikiyin and zirin are the same thing. They're both straw. One was tied twice, one was tied three times. It's kippin that's different. It's kippin that's this eres. But being that there's a machlokes in terms of how to read the Mishnah, what obviously emerges from that is a tremendous machlokes in terms of what the halacha is. Because the Mishnah said, matirin pikiyei amr, umefasves en asakipin avaloya sazirin. So what is keeping? When is it mefasfas and asakipin? What is zirin? When is it loyas hazirin? And really what comes out, if you just do the math, is that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda halacha lemaisa were arguing about two different things. Rav Huna is of the opinion that it's always okay to be matir and to be mefasfas straw. You cannot be matir or be mefasfas the arazin. According to Rav Yehuda, it's okay to be matter the straw. It's not okay to be mefasfes the straw. It is, however, okay to even be mefasfes. It is, however, okay to even be mefasfes the arozim. What's the hesber in the machloikis? So the Gemara explained. And really, they're arguing in Svaras Afuchas. Rav Huna is of the opinion that it's okay to be matriach for Oichel on Shabbos. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to create Oichel on Shabbos. So if you want to untie food for a behemoth, you want to scatter the behemoth, it's all good. Because this is food, it's fine. What can't you do? Arazim. Arazim is something that wakes up Shabbos morning, not Meichel behemoth. You want it to now be Meichel behemoth, you're creating something. Creating it, that's an issue. That's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds faker. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that it's okay to create something on Shabbos. It's not the end of the world. There's no halacha that says that you're not allowed to make something to an oichel on Shabbos. Everything you can make something to an oichel on Shabbos, Rav Yehuda doesn't have a problem with you taking arazim and now even scattering it in front of the animal. He doesn't have a problem with that. You know what Rav Yehuda has a problem with? He doesn't want you to do too much tircha with Meichel Behema. That's not something he's okay with. So he says, you want to untie the straw? That's a necessary tircha. You want to scatter the straw? That's not a necessary tircha. Ironically, Rav Yehuda says that to scatter these cedars is a necessary tircha. And it's for that reason he ends up being more makel when it comes to the cedars. That's why he holds, even mephasphasin. So really what comes out is a machloikis in the definitions of the Mishnah. What emerges from that is a machloikis in the halacha of the Mishnah, obviously. But even more than that is a yesoidi machloikis, which is a little ironic because often the Gemara doesn't like making svaras hafuchos. But here it's like literally they're taking the diametrically opposed position on both of these halachas. Rav Huna says you can be matriach with oichel, you can't create oichel. Rav Yehuda says you can't be matriach with oichel, assuming it's not necessary. However, you can create oichel. Amar Rava, just this one last line, my time with the Rav Yehuda. What's the pshat Rav Yehuda? Because somebody else, shivu oichel mashvina. He says, you're allowed to create oichel. That's why it's okay to even scatter that razim in front of the animal, because that's necessary. And it's creating, he doesn't have a problem with that. Mitzvah b'chalei hashukhin, in terms of being matriach, that's not something you're allowed to do. Zok to Gemara. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, im raskin es hashachas v'sachar ruven lefnei behemo. You're not allowed to grind or crush. I mean, you can't grind as in toichin, but you're not even allowed to get involved in tircha to thin out the shachas and the charuvim that you want to serve your behemoth. It doesn't matter if it's a behemoth dak or behemoth gasa. Either way, it's going to be awesome. Now, the Gemara juxtaposed shachas, which is animal fodder, and charuvim, which are caribs. So the Gemara says, "My love, charuvim, do me the shachas." It's fair to assume that the charuvim and the shachas are similar. My shachas derechichi, just like shachas typically was soft, after charuvim derechichi, so to the charuvim is probably also soft. And Alma, you still see it's not something you can do. Why? What's the big deal? Why shouldn't you be able to do it? You're not creating anything. You're not making something that's not oichel into oichel. The charuvim is oichel. The shachas is oichel. It's probably soft. It's probably royal achilo. So if that's the case, you're not creating anything. What could you possibly be doing wrong? What you could possibly be doing wrong is you getting involved in tircha, and still the Mishnah says it's not okay. In Miraskin it says, no, you're making an assumption that these foods were soft. As a result, when you crushed it, you didn't create anything. All you did was is you got involved in a little bit of tircha. Mishnah says it's not okay. Oh, that's a raya. You can't be a matriach. I disagree with your whole premise. Shachas do me the charuvim, I agree, but in the reverse, machruvim nakushi, charuvim caribs are usually very hard. I'm shachas takushi. So too, the shachas is takushi. But the point is, you have no right. Your assumption is not a real assumption. If that's the case, you can't bring it right. Because fakir, the reason it's not okay to be merasik the shachas and to be merasik the charuvim, the issue with it is not the tercha. The issue with it is the fact that you're creating something, and it's creating something, taking something that's hard and making a royal achilo. That's what the problem is. The Gemara says, hey, chimishkacha. So what's an example of fodder that's too hard that you shouldn't be able to eat? The Gemara says, be'ili zutri, like a young animal. It's not the food as so much, but it's the food relative to the animal. You have a young animal who his teeth aren't so developed, so it's very likely that the food would be too hard. It'd be difficult for him to eat. Tashman, Gemara says, I'll bring you another raya. We're trying to be poshet, whether Rav Huna's pshat in the Mishnah is right, or Rav Yehuda's pshat in the Mishnah is right. So the Gemara says, maybe bring a raya from the last line of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah said, was mater b'charuvim ladaka. So again, we're up to the seif of the Mishnah, and we're trying to prove the resha from the Sefer. We have two completely different Mahalchim, both a little complicated, but two completely different understandings of how to read the Reisha of the Mishnah. And the Gemara is looking for clues to try to figure out who's right. Is Rav Huna right? Is Rav Yehuda right? The Reisha, they're both making compelling arguments. But what about maybe in the Sefer, we have a little bit of a Raya. So the Gemara brought the first part of the Sefer and struck out. Now we're bringing the latter part of the Sefer. Again, what was the Sefer? A Meraskin, you're not allowed to crush, not Shachas, not Cheruvim, not to serve to Behemadaka or to Behemagasa. Rav Yehuda's mate charuvim bedakas. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda mate bechruvim bedakas. Now it sounds like v'dakin legasalot. You can only give it to a bedakas. You can't give it to a behemagasa. Yeah, but bishloima. So the Gemara says bishloima if the Tana Kama holds mitzvah ba'uchel leitarchinon that a person's not allowed to be matriach when it comes with food. Meaning you can't be matriach excessively for your behemah. Then haynu dekamer Rabbi Yehuda. Then I understand, says the Gemara. But shivu mashvino. But you're allowed to create food. Meaning if the, according to Rav Yehuda's Pshat in the Mishnah, so I understand Rav Yehuda. Yeah, the Tana Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. Because Hainu Tekomer Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda saying, Hacharuvim Ladaka Nami Shivu Uchlohu. What's Rav Yehuda saying? You're telling me the Tana Kama that it's not okay to take Shachas and Charuvim and to crush it, to feed it to an animal. Rav Yehuda said, I don't agree with you. Because I think that a behema daka, it's a young, it's a weaker animal. An animal like this, it's harder for it to eat. So I think that if you're going to take the food and crush it, now you'll be able to eat. Previously, I don't think it would have been able to eat. Now you're allowing it to eat. So this is not an unnecessary tercha. This is a necessary tercha. You worried about shivu oichla? Oh, shivu oichla is not a problem. So Rav Yehuda's taina is that it makes sense that you should be able to do it for behema daka. Only for a behema daka, not for a behema gasa. Why not for a behema gasa? Because for a behema gasa, it's not necessary. For a behema daka, it is necessary. What would be the issue? That you're creating something? No, it's not a problem to create something. Eliyama tanikama sova shibu yoichole mashrinon, mitzvah ba'uchla matrinon, then Rabbi Yehuda demata becharuvim ledaka, kol shkein legasa. But if you're going to tell me that the tanikama holds in the reverse, that you're not allowed to make oichol, but you're allowed to be matriach for oichol, tirch is okay. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's okay to crush it for the daka and it's not okay to crush it for the gasa? First of all, if it's okay for the daka, why should it not be okay for the gasa? And if anything, it's a much bigger chiddush that you could do it for the daka. Because by the daka, you're creating something. You're making it not roi for the animal to suddenly becoming roi for the animal. By the gasa, you're not really creating anything. So says the Gemara, I think from Rabbi Yehuda's time, you have a little bit of a gilui of what the Tana Kama must have held. And l'chur, there's a riot to Rabbi Yehuda da Meiris pshat in the Mishnah, not to Rabbi Huna da Meiris pshat in the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, that's all a taina if you assume that when Rabbi Yehuda was mate b'charuvim l'daka, he meant for a behema daka, which sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's dafka mater when you're creating something. But the Gemara says, no, it's not muchach that's really what he holds. Mi sarvis daka daka mamish my daka gasa. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's okay for behema daka. He didn't mean a behema daka. He meant the behema gasa. My kardly daka. Then why do you call it behema daka? The daika b'uchel. What he means is an animal that chews well. That's what he was referring to. And fakir, he meant that if the animal chews as well, meaning it's like a behema gasa, that's dafka where it's going to be okay. Because over there you're not creating anything because to be matriach is okay, but to create something is not okay, like Rav Huna Shita. But in terms of if it was a real behema daka, then you're creating something, it would have been a problem. But the Gemara says, Amidik Tani Reisha Ben Daka Ben Gasa Mechal de Rav Yehuda Daka Daka Mamash Kamar. I mean, you're coming up with a novel definition for behema daka throughout Shas, wherever you find the word behema daka. So you know what it means. Now all of a sudden the Gemara is arguing that behema daka maybe doesn't mean what it usually means, a meager animal, but it means a behema that chews well, which makes sense in the context of the halacha that we're discussing. If it chews well, then maybe it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, look at what did the Chachamim say? Behem daka, behem gasa. This is the sprach that you have throughout Shas. Now all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda mata b'daka, it doesn't mean what the Chachamim meant when they said daka and gasa. So the Gemara says, I hear. In other words, kasha. And there's a difference between kasha and tiufta. Tiufta means checkmate. Tiufta means we don't have an answer. Kasha is, I hear. There's a teretz that was a little bit too dachuk for the Gemara to get involved in, but the bottom line is, this is the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara Tashma, I'll bring you another right. Mechatchin es hadalu and lefnei abehemo. And this is from a Mishnah that we are still going to see. You're allowed to take deluin, different vegetables and fruit, and you're allowed to chop it up and give it to a behemo. That's not an avelo, lefnei akomi. You're allowed to do the same thing with an avelo, lefnei klom. The Gemara says, my love, deluin, dum, din, avelo. The Mishnah again juxtaposed deluin and avelo. So it sounds like they're one and the same. Man, avelo, derekicho. Just like the nevela is soft, after luin the rechichi, so too the luin is soft. Alma tarchina ba'uchlo. So it sounds like you could be matriach for food. I mean, this doesn't sound like something that needs to be done. It sounds like it's soft food. There's no reason the animal needs you to chop it up. So this is excessive tercha that's really not necessary. And still, you see, it's mutter. This is Rav Huna's understanding. This is tiufta de Rav Yehuda. Malach Rav Yehuda loy nevela dumi de luin. Who said that they're both soft? Ma de luin dashuni. De luin are usually hard. After nevela, so to this nevela is talking about where is dashuni. What's an example? example of an avela that's too hard for an animal to eat. Whoever saw an animal where you need to make small pieces for an animal to eat? An animal could bite into an avela. It should never be a problem. You shouldn't have to soften it up in. So the Gemara says, Babasar pili, elephant meat. Inami begur yasa zutri. Or it's a young animal. Tashma, the Tanya Rav Chana ben Arda. Mefarchin on tevin, the aspasta. You're allowed to crush. You're allowed to turn into like flour, tevin and aspasta, umarvin, and you're allowed to mix it up. Alma, what do you see from here? Tarchin and bochla. I mean, you literally sat down, you're making a salad, you're like helping the animal. Why are you doing this? It's a tircha. So why is it okay? It's not necessary. Oh, must be that a tircha is something that you're allowed to do, but the Gemara says, no, it's not. Muchach, because could be tevin, betivna sari. It's talking about the spoiled tevin, that if you don't do this, animal's not going to eat it. Aspasta be lizuchi, and aspasta is also talking about a younger animal, an animal that otherwise would not be able to eat this food. Either way, that concludes the first intense part of the daf. So again, we had a Mishnah that talks about different types of animal foods. And the Mishnah is discussing it in the context of feeding an animal on Shabbos. The Mishnah mentioned Pekiei Amir. The Mishnah mentioned Kifin. And the Mishnah mentioned Zirin. Pekiei Amir, everybody agrees, are bundles of straw that were tied twice. What exactly are Kifin? What exactly are Zirin? Was a machloikis gedoyle yamayiran, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, which obviously results in a tremendous nafkemina lehalacha, but more and more importantly, more globally, a yesoidistig nafkemina as it relates to Hilcha Shabbos, and that is it okay for a person to be matshriach a tircha yesera that's not really necessary to feed an animal? Or maybe you would have the same shiloh in other contexts as well. It seems like Rav Huna had a koyach tehtera when it came to Tirchan Shabbos, whereas Rav Yehuda was more machmer when it came to Tirchan Shabbos. Another nafkamina in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. Again, it's such a detailed, technical, granular halacha, but the underlying principles are very yisaydi. The other one was, am I allowed to create something on Shabbos? Can I take food that's hard that even an animal can't eat and soften it up? Now an animal is going to be able to eat it. Either way, the Gemara was searching for clues to try to figure out whether Rav Huna's pshat is right, Rav Yehuda's pshat is right. In the course of the Gemara, we had a tiyufta de Rav Huna, but we knocked that out. We had a tiyufta de Rav Yehuda, we knocked that out. We even had a kasha, but the bottom line is fighter. Zok de Mishnah, ein oifsin es hagomol. You're not allowed to feed a gomol. The Gemara is going to say exactly what oifsin means. Oifsin means not just to feed it. Rashi, machilin oisai harbe. You're literally forcing the food down the mouth, down the throat of the camel. You're not allowed to stop it in. You are allowed to force feed it. You're allowed to stick it down its throat. The Gemara will go into some of these nuances. The same is true. You're not allowed to force feed an eagle, a calf. You are allowed to not forcefully do it, but put the food in its mouth. Umahalkatin le tarnagoylam. Same malacha is as it relates to tarnagoylam. So tarnagoylam, you're allowed to put the food in its mouth. Vinoisnin mayim lamursan, you're allowed to take mayim and mix it together with bran. Avaloy goyvli, you're not allowed to knead it. Vinoisnin mayim lefnei devar. You're not allowed to take water and put it in front of bees. Vilefnei yoinim, in front of doves. Shebashoivach. Avaloysin lefnei avazim, in front of geese. Vitarnagoylam. Vilefnei yoine hardisiyois. And in front of the yoinim that came from the family of Herod. Either way, so the Mishnah said, again, a bunch of technical halachas. We don't really live amongst animals, so it's hard for us to fully appreciate some of these halachas. But again, like in the previous Gemara, there's some underlying yesoidos that are very negei Hilcha Shabbos. As Akta Gemara, my ein oifsin. Mishnah says, ein oifsin as hagomol. So you can't take a lot of food and put it down the gomol's throat. What exactly does it mean, ein oifsin? What's the more technical definition? I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, ein oifsin loy evas besoich me'er. You're not allowed to make a trough inside the stomach of the camel. It's like saying you can't like put a refrigerator loaded with food inside the stomach of the camel. Is that even possible? I once saw a taya, an Arab merchant. I saw him feed his camel a kura, a whole kura's worth of food. That's a lot of food. Not just that, he loaded on top of it another kura. Apparently, a camel has a lot of place to store water and to store food, and it's based on that the Mishnah had to tell us halacha. Ein oifsin es hagomel. Ein mamirin. The Mishnah said, ein mamirin es hagolim. Ezayam rav ezayalot. So again, as it relates to an eagle, a calf, the Mishnah said, ein mamirin es hagolim. Aval malitin. So what's the difference between hamra and halata? Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, hamra l'makom sheni yichol l'hachzer. Hamra is when you put it in a place where it's beyond the point of return. You can't
scale it back. Halata l'makom sheyichal l'hachzer. Halata is when you put it inside the animal, but it's still possible for you to take it out. Rav Chizdam said no. Idividi l'makom sheyichal l'hachzer. They're both talking about a situation where you put it in a place where you can't get it back. Amra is when you put it inside with a keli. Halata biyat. Halata is when you do it with your hand. In other words, we have a machloikis. If somebody would take food, put it into the mouth of a calf to a place where you can't get it back, it's too far. But he did it with his hand. Would that be okay? Or would that not be okay? According to Rav Yehuda, Hamra, that the Mishnah said is not okay, is Lemakim She'eno Yechayla Lahachse. So if you put it in a Makim She'eno Yechayla Lahachse, it's always not going to be okay. Rav Chizda said, no, it depends. He said, Hamra is a Makim She'eno Yechayla Lahachse, and Halata is also a Makim She'eno Yechayla Lahachse. What does it depend on? Keli or Yad? So if it's with a Keli, it's not okay. If it's with a Yad, it is okay. So if you put it Lemakim She'eno Yechayla Lahachse, with your hand, is it okay or is it not okay? According to Rav Yehuda, it's not. According to Rav Chizda, it is. So with that hakdama, Masav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Mahalkitim l'tarnegolim." You're allowed to put food into the mouth, force feed the tarnegol. Ain't tzarich lemishem malkitin, and you're certainly allowed to put food in front of him. Ve'im malkit liyoni shavich liyoni aliyah. You're not allowed to feed yoni shavich liyoni aliyah. Ve'im tzarich lemishem malkitin. You can't put it in front of him. You certainly can't put it in. So the Gemara wants to define these two words, mahalkitin and malkitin, a little bit more precisely. My mahalkitin or my malkitin. Ilem mahalkitin tzavile biyodayim. Does mahalkitin mean the way we just touched it? You're putting it inside the mouth of the tarnegol. Malkitin deshadule kamayu. Malkitin simply means you're putting it in front of it. So what does it sound like? A tarnagol, mahalkitin, and certainly malkitin. I mean, you're allowed to feed it. You can put it in its mouth. You can put it in front of him. But when it comes to the yoinim shoivach and the yoinim aliyah, these doves, you can't be mahalkit, you can't be mahalkit. You can't put it in front of it at all. So the Gemara says, it sounds like yoinim shoivach, yoinim aliyah, mishtakamay, namilaychot, namilay. You can't even put it in front of it. That can't be, says the Gemara. Why not? Like, that's not a terchi yisera. Again, we're not dealing with something that's muktzah. You have an obligation to feed these animals. So what should be the problem? The only thing that could be a problem in this whole halacha is tercha. What's the tercha? Say, yeah, you want to tell me you're going to force it down the throat of the animal, go fight with an animal. That's a tercha, maybe. But to put it in front of him, what's the big deal? It takes a second. What should be the problem? There's no way, says the Gemara, in the Havamina, that it should not be okay to be mishta kamayo, to simply put food in front of Yoinei Shoivach and Yoinei Ali. Elolav, the Gemara says, must be that we have the wrong definition of Mahalkitin and Malkitin. Mahalkitin must be L'makom She'eino Yechayla L'Hachzer. Malkitin must be L'makom She'yechayla L'Hachzer. And it's those two things that are mutter by a tarnagol, and it's those two things that are not mutter by Yoinei Shoivach and Yoinei Ali. But both are situations that involve tercha. I'm putting it inside the mouth of the animal. It's just a question of how far down did I go? Did I go to the point where I can still bring my hand back out? Or did I not go back to that point? But what do you see from here? You see from here, Michlal, the Hamra, Bikli, must be that when the Mishnah says, again, this is a little tricky, Ein Mamirnes Agolin, it must have been with a Keli, V'tyufta de Rav Yehuda. Whoa. So at first glance, what Shaychus? The Mishnah is talking about an Egel. This Braisa that Rav Yosef asked the question from is talking about Tarnagoilim. So what's the connection between an eagle and a Tarnagol? I mean, they're both part of the animal kingdom. They both live on a farm, but they're not the same animal. So how are we equating the two? So the Teretz, as Rashi speaks out, that you have to say that the Gemara is under the assumption that there's no nafka mina between animals and animals. Meaning all animals were created equally as it relates to this halacha. So if there's an idea of it's not okay for a person to take food, stuff it down the mouth of an animal and to a point where you can't get it back out. If this is true for an eagle, it's true for a tarnagol. If it's true for a tarnagol, it's true for a chamar. If it's true for a chamar, it's true for a sosan, for a goat. It's all going to be the same. There's not going to be any difference. Okay, so the Gemara has a kasha. The kasha is, we just said mahalkitin l'tarnagol. And we just proved that mahalkitin means that you're putting it inside the mouth of the tarnagol to a point where you can't take it back. The kasha then is, how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, eimam mirin es ha'agolin. That you can't put it past the point where you're not allowed to take it back. You have a stero. It's true, one's talking about a calf, and the other one's talking about a tarnagol. But the Gemara holds there's no difference, Dr. Rashi. So if that's the case, you have a mefurish stero. So what's the Gemara's cheshbon? It's a bishloimo, if you're going to tell me. Bishloimo, if you're going to tell me that there's a nafgamino between a keli and a yad. Aha. So that's pshat in the Gemara. The Mishnah that says it's not okay is talking about with the keli. The braisa with the tarnagol that says it is okay is talking about yad, which was what Rav Chizda said. Rav Chizda said that to put it in the animal's mouth forcefully, beyond the point of return sometimes is okay, sometimes not okay. You did it with a keli, or did you do it with a yad? If, however, the halach is like Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda said it's never okay, then if it's never okay, you have a stira. Here the Mishnah says, in man mirinus ha'golim, and here it says, mahalketin l'tarna golim. So the Gemara says, yufta de Rav Yehuda, I'm chara Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's going to tell you, no, lo'ayla mahalketin desafel b'yadayim. I disagree with your whole premise. Who said mahalketin means that you're forcing it down the mouth of the animal to the point of no return? That's not what it means. Mahalketin simply means you're putting it inside the mouth, not past the point of no return. Because past the point of no return is never okay. Not with a keli, not with your yad. And malkitin, what does malkitin then mean? The shah delay come out. You're simply putting it in front of it. What was the worst problem with learning that pshat? The question was, right? It didn't make any sense. Why is it not okay, the yoyne shavich yoyne aliyah? You can't feed it? What's the problem? Just to put food in front of it? That doesn't involve a tercha. So Mar says, no, you can't do that. Because even that little bit of tercha is too much. Because hani mizoynoisan alecha, v'hani e mizoynoisan alecha. Being that you have no responsibility, you have no obligation to take care of the yoyne shavich and the yoyne aliyah, because they can very easily take care of themselves. So this is not something you need to do. If you don't need to do it, it's not going to be okay. Kid the time you learn to the price, you're allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos. You're not allowed to feed a chazer on Shabbos. My hefish menzel is there. What's the difference? It's not that the kelev has more yichos, but zem is oynois on alecha. Zem is oynois on alecha. If you don't feed a dog, the dog is going to starve. If you don't feed a chazer liktach in the red. So he has no problem. He always has food. Amar Rav Ashi, Matzisa Nami Deka. Truth is derived from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, "Oynois mind lufnei devayrim lufnei yoyin." You're not allowed to put water in front of devayrim or yoyinim shebeshot. Chav oynois lufnei avaz and lufnei tarnu gadol lufnei yoyin har doisias. Right? Some birds you're allowed to put water in front of. Some birds you're not allowed to put water in front of. My time. But what's the difference between the types of birds? Lad nishum the hanim is oynois on alecha. The hanim is oynois on alecha. The difference must be because, oh, these you need to take care of. Those you don't need to take care of. So you see, there's a distinction. The only time you're allowed to feed is if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, it's not afraid. According to you, my area, mayo. What's the difference? Why dafka water? Meaning, if you can tell me pshat in the Mishnah, like we just said, why there's a difference between putting water in front of the dvarim of the yoyim shabashayvach, or the avazim tarn gadlam yoyim yadars, is based on then it should have nothing to do with water. Meaning it should be true for all foods. Even chit v'sa'ari. Eli, you have to say, there's no raya from the Mishnah. Shani maya, the shchichi ba'agma. Now, water is different. Water is very, very shchich. So that's why there's halacha in noisa ma'am. You have no raya from here that an animal that's in mizoynoisa no'lecha, that you would necessarily say that you're not allowed to feed it. Dorish rab yoyna, apischa de bein nesiyah. Maya dechsiv yoydeya tzadik din dalin. Kodesh Baruch Hu understands the plight of an ani. Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kelev shem zayin tzimun rotem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that it's difficult for the kelev to sustain itself. Lefichach shoyach yilas meyav gimel yam. It's for that reason when a dog eats, it takes 3 days for the dog to fully digest the food. It's like this, it can sustain itself. It's not so easy for it to get food. So it eats for 3 days, it's not so hungry. Kedetanan, we learned in a Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah Mesechtes Aholois. Kametishach yilas meyav v'yehei tameh. The context is, if an animal eats food, and now this food was tome tomas meis, or it's in an oil ames. So the question is, food that's already eaten, but it's not yet digested, at what point do we say it's still subject to tomas meis, or at what point not? So the Mishnah says, bekelev gimel yamin, meis leis. If it relates to a dog, it's 3 days, meis leis, 72 hours. But if it's a dog, in kadesh, people love it, this are. Oh, if in a dog, no, immediately. It's like as quickly as it would take to burn the food. But the point is, you see from here that food in the digestive system of a dog is not considered to have been fully and properly digested for 3 days. Why? Because Yodea Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows and understands the plight of the Dal. In this context, who's the Dal? The hint. Amar Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna said, Shmami, no, you see from here, Oyre Chara, the Mishta Umtza Lekalbi. You see from here, it's a nice thing to feed dogs. V'kama. How much should you feed it? Amar Rav Mari said like this, Mashach Udne, you should measure its ear, which is small, meaning a little bit of food, for chutra basre, and then hit it. Meaning, don't give it too much food. And the Gemara says, even then, hani mili b'davar, this is only true in the field. Avabamasa, in a city, loy, don't even give it that. And the reason for all this is the asli l'misrach, because, you know, you feed the cats, they come back, right? So you're going to feed the dog, you're going to have a new friend, and Rashi says, it could be expensive, you may not be up to it, yeah, if it's okay, v'yafsido, Rashi says. So, I mean, if you can handle it, that's one thing. But otherwise, this is not such a good idea. Amar Rapop, Rapos, said, leis da'anyo mikalbo. There's nothing in the world that's poorer than a dog. V'leis da'ate mechazira. And there's nothing that's wealthier than a chazer. This is coming from Rapop of the Gvir. Tanya, kavasi, de Rav Yehuda. Raya to Rav Yehuda. Eze amro, v'eze alata. Amro marbitza ufoike sespia. Amro is to put the animal down and to open up its mouth, and to stuff food down its mouth. Halata, what's halata? Machilin mu'umad, it's standing. Umashke mu'umad, v'noisen kashina b'fnei atzman, umayim b'fnei atzman. So this is a writer of Yehuda. Which are Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda in the very beginning of this Gemara, where Rav Yehuda said, what's the difference between hamra and halata? The Mishnah said, in mamirin, avol malitin. What's the difference? Rav Yehuda said, hamra is past the point of no return, whereas halat is not. Where do you see that in this braisa? It's not mefurish in the braisa, but you see from the braisa that hamra means you lie it down, you open up its mouth, and you stop the food down. You're probably going to be able to get it pretty deep if it's in that compromised position. Whereas halata is it standing, machila mu'umid, or mashka mu'umid. So how far down are you going to be able to get it down the animal? So the Gemara says, this is Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yehuda. A little bit more Gemara. Mahalkitin letarna goylim. So the Mishnah said, mahalkitin letarna goylim. And then the Mishnah said, v'noisne mayim l'morsa. So you want to feed your roosters. So is that okay on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says like this. You can take water and bran, put it together, and feed it. Avoloi goivlin. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to mix it. You can't knead it. Amr Abaye. Amritik amid Mar. I said in front of Mar. Who was Abaye's Mar? Rabbo. Masnisa Mani. I asked him, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Amalei, and he told me, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehudi. It's the Tan of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Tan. You will learn to the Bais. Ech neis, ech neis, if one person takes flour, puts it into a bowl, and somebody else adds water. The second one's going to be chayiv for the malach of lush. Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi says, ain't chayiv, you're not chayiv, achi yigabal, unless you need it. If you need it, you're going to be chayiv. But if you don't need it, you're not going to be chayiv. So what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, simply adding flour to water is not considered lush. According to Rebbe, it is. Rabbi Yehuda says, Achi Yagabal. What did the Mishnah say? V'noisnim mayim lamorsin. That's fine. Avaloi goivlin. So Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, simply adding the two together without mixing it, without kneading it, is okay. So it's very good, the Mishnah. But according to Rebbe, Echa noisnim es hakemach, that's a noichnim l'soichim mayim. You already have the halacha that are achrin chayv. So why is it okay in the Mishnah to take morsin and to add water? So Abayu said, I asked my grosser Rebbe, Rabbi, he said, who's the Tana of the Mishnah? And he told me, the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara argues, and the Gemara says, Dilma, I don't know if it's Muchach, because maybe Adkan, the Kabbalah, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi maybe even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi only said it's Halacha, Ela Kemach, the Bar Gibelhu. Kemach is something that people usually need. Being that it's something that people usually need, so there you can reason, you can argue, you can say that unless you need it, you're not going to be chayef. So Echa Noisen as a Kemach, Echa Noisen as a Mayim, is not going to be chayef. Avol Mursin, La Bar Gibelhu, but Mursin, which is something that people don't usually need, it's just not something that people usually need together. I feel like maybe Rabbi Yehuda should be moida that it's not okay. Meaning you're assuming that this is fine because, oh, you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. But the one says, I don't think Rabbi Yehuda is such an obvious sushta because Rabbi Yehuda only said where the derech is to do lush, so then you have to do lush. If the derech is not to do lush, like in the case of the Mishnah, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not going to be okay, even if you don't do lush. But the Gemara says, lo yisol kedaitach. Can't say that. Meaning I hear it in Svara, but the time is before Shabraiso. Ain't no yisamayim lamorsin divrei Rabbi. Here's a mefurish b'raisa where we have the same exact machloikas, not regarding kemach amayim, but rather regarding morsin amayim. So you see, it's not just true for flour and water; it's true for morsin and water as well. A little more gemara. Tana Rabbanan, in goyvlin es hakoli. You're not allowed to take toasted grains, as in gerish, koli, and caramel. You're not allowed to take toasted grains and knead it. V'yesha with water. V'yesha in goyvlin. Some say you can't, obviously on Shabbos. So man yesha, who's the one that holds you allowed to do it? I'm Rav Chizda. It's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. It's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Which Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda? That we just said. That you're allowed to take water and mix it with bran or with kemach as long as you don't need it. Now this is not mamish the same case. Here you're needing it. The point is that you see, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda had a koyach that terah when it came to the malach of lush. He held simply mixing two things together doesn't constitute lush. The only time it's considered lush is if you're really needing it. Therefore, it's simply taking flour, mixing water, that isn't considered lush. So to over here, taking kali and even kneading it with water is not considered lush. Just based on the physical nature of kali, that wouldn't be considered lush. But according to Rabbi, who was more machmer when it came to lush, mixing water in kemach, mixing water in mursan is considered lush. This would also be considered lush. The Gemara just says, "V'hani mili hu de meshani." The only time it works, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, is if you make a shinui. Heichi meshani. What's an example of a shinui? I'm Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, "Al yad, al yad." Do a little bit at a time. The Shavin, everybody agrees. Meaning, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe who's machmer and lush. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda was mekel and lush. In this particular context, they both agree. Shabeich shenas hashasis. You'll have to take shasis. That's of Masechtas Brachas fame. Haisha Sisa, Parakeitz and Mavarchin. So you let it take Shasis and you let him mix it on Shabbos. Everyone agrees that's not considered Lush. Another thing they both agree on is Veshoisim Zisum HaMitzri. You let it drink Zisum HaMitzri, that's related to Refuah B'Shabbos, even though it has some therapeutic qualities, but still you let it drink it on Shabbos. Right to Gemara. How could everybody hold Shavin Shaboyshin as a Shasis? V'amrit Ein Goivlin. We just said Ein Goivlin, that it's not okay to be Goivl, the Kali. What's the difference between Shasis and the Gemara says like Kasha, Haba Ava, Haba Rakan. One is talking about when it's thick. When it's thick, it's not okay. The other one is talking about where it's thin, meaning depending on the texture, that's going to determine whether it's fine. But Abba Rashi says, in Goivlim. Baraka, Boichshin She'in Zu Lisha. That's not really considered Lisha. V'hani Mili, but even then, when we're saying that everyone agrees, you let it be Boichshin the Shasis, again, you have to read the fine print. Ude Meshani, it's only true if you make a Shinui. Heichin Meshani, what's an example of a Shinui? Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef like this. Bichoil, if you make Shasisa during the week, Noisin as a Chaymes, first you put in vinegar, then you put in the Shasis. The Shabbos, you do it the opposite. Noisin as a Shasis, V'achachach Noisin as a Chaymes. Levi braid Rav Huna Bar Chiyo, Levi, who was Rav Huna Bar Chiyo's son, Ashkechid Legavlo de Bein Noshe. So apparently his family had a gavla. They had an in-house mixer, an in-house kneader. So he once saw him, the kagavla, the Safi Leiloture, and he was mixing food, he was kneading food, he was feeding it to his shayr on Shabbos. So he was very upset about what he did, because he thought he was being mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, old school, batashpe, he kicked him. Asavua. So Levi, bereid Rav Huna Bar Chiya, his father, in other words, Rav Huna Reid Rav Chiya came, Amalei, he says, what are you kicking him for? Hachi Yomer Avu Adimach, you should know, your mother's father, there's a lot of yichas in this Gemara, your mother's father, Yozeda, said, Mishmei de Rav Umanoi, who was Yozeda? Oh, I guess he knew who Yozeda was, but the Gemara is telling us who his Zeda was. It was Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who was the great Amoyer, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. He said, Goivlin, you're allowed to mix for an animal, this is something that you're allowed to do. It's just for Loi Mesafin, just when it comes to feed it, Loi Mesafin, meaning Eimamir Noisa. You're not allowed to force it down. Whatever the Gemara came out with, and Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amid Beis. That means Machlekes Rav Yehuda, Rav Chisda. But that's the only thing you're not allowed to do. The Gemara says Loi Laka Belishnei. If you have an animal whose tongue is not, it's, Rashi says Loi Lumid Lechol. It doesn't really know how to eat. Then Mahalkit Tinole. You could even be Mahalkit it. You could even put the food in its mouth in a more forceful way. Vahani Mili Yehuda Meshani. Again, only with a Shinui Heichin Meshani. Amr Rav Yehuda Meshlamiu. Meshmei Da'abaya Shasi V'ar. When you mix it, you have to mix it with a Shinui. What's the Shinui? Instead of mixing it in round, you should go chassis, you should go vertical, you should go horizontal. That's the right way to do it. Says the Gemara, V'holoi ma'ariv shaper. But we'll stop here. Faith the Gemara, V'holoi ma'ariv shaper. But if you're going to mix a chassis v'ariv, you're not really mixing it. I'm Rav Yehuda Menar Lelikli. What you should do is, you should shake the keli. If you shake the keli and you mix a chassis v'ariv, that's considered mixing it. Kosev ha-pinkasei d'z'iri, it was written on Zairi had a pinkus, and on his pinkus it said, Amrit Kadam Rebbe. I said in front of my Rebbe, Umana, who's my Rebbe? Reb Chiya. Mao Legabo, are you allowed to need a thick mixture on Shabbos? Amari said, Osir. I said, Mao Lefarik, are you allowed to transfer food from a form of one animal to another animal? Amar Mutti, he said, it's Mutti. Amar Menashe, Lechad Kamichad, if you want to take one portion and feed it to one animal, that's fine. Trey Kamichad, two portions in front of two animals is also fine. Shabbat Domi. Klasi Kamichad, Osir. You can't serve an animal too much food. This is the same context. It's Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan. It's Tircha B'Shabbos. So if you're going to give the animal food that it's going to eat, that's fine. But if you're going to give the animal food that it may not eat, then it's not okay. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef said, Kav afilu kabayim. No, you're allowed to feed an animal a kav, even kabayim. Ulo Omer, Ulo said, Kurv afilu kurayim, even more than that. I mean, you can feed an animal as much food as you want. Kosev ha-pinkas ay the Levi. It was written, Levi also had a pinkas. So Zairi had a pinkas, and Levi had a pinkas. On Levi's pinkas, it said as follows, Amrit kadam Rebbe. I said in front of my Rebbe, Umanoi, who is Levi's Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It was none other than Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Yehuda Nasi. Al Dahavu Gavlin Shasisa B'Bavos. I was talking to him about the fact that in Bavel, people used to need Shasisa. Again, this thing, we said, the Shavin Shabayshin as Hashasis. As long as it's thick, it's okay. People were doing it. Vavet Savach Rebbe. I told Rebbe about it. Rebbe lived in Eretz Yisrael. And I told Rebbe what's going on in Bavel. And he was screaming. Umanoi, again, who was screaming? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Da'al da'hava govlin shesisa. These are like entries in this pinkus, so it's written bullet point style. But either way, he was screaming about this, v'les de shmila, but nobody listened to him. V'les chela biyadei lemeser.
Interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't have the power to enforce what he thought was the halacha in Bavel. Why? With Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda was mekel. This is Rabbi Lashitasa. Rabbi was the one who was machmer when it came to needing food. And he was not even happy with the shasisa ava. And he was yelling and nobody listened to him. And v'leschela, he didn't have the koyach. He didn't have the koyach to enforce it. The bottom line is, the reason is because there was a koyach that teira, and that was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. We'll stop here. This next Gemara is going to tell another story about another ledger. And this is not the Pinkus of Levi, but rather this is the, not the Pinkus of Zairi, this is the Pinkus of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The next Gemara is a classic. We'll get there, Mitzvah Shem.